From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
Veronica Roth's Divergent series has sold millions of copies and spawned a popular series of movies. She's recently released a brand new book called Four, which is a collection of short stories set in her dystopian Chicago.
Welcome to Craft, Veronica Roth.
Hi.
Veronica Roth, you have written the very, very popular Divergent trilogy, which has three books so far and also a very popular movie. So tell me about your new book, Four, which is a Divergent collection.
It is. It's a series of short stories, although they're not that short, actually, written from the perspective of Four, or Tobias, one of the main characters in the Divergent series, and someone who co-narrated the third book in the series, too. So the stories take place before the events of Divergent, for the most part, at least the first three do, and then the fourth one overlaps with Divergent, but, you know, from the other angle. So, it should be a lot of fun for people who have read the series and want just a little bit more.
Am I correct that when you first started writing Divergent, you were writing as Tobias?
I was.
So this is sort of a return to an original idea you had for the series?
A little bit, yeah. I discovered that the story was more interesting when I told it from Triss's perspective, simply because it's easy to underestimate her. You know,
right.
With him, you kind of expect, you know, a young man of his age and of his, like, you know, physical capacity to join Dauntless, basically like joining the military, kind of.
Right.
But when a tiny blonde girl does it, it just is a little bit unexpected, and I think it's interesting to watch how her inner strength kind of overpowers her, like, physical weakness, and it was a cool story to tell. But his story is also interesting, so I'm happy to be able to write it.
Right, and I noticed that several times as I was reading Divergent, and there's a lot of different times where she says, I was too short to see over the crowd, or I had to, you know, fight my way in because I wasn't as strong as many of the other characters. So it was an interesting angle. So tell me about writing these stories. Was this something that you were able to do? I mean, I guess you did it after writing the other three, or sort of, like you said, a return?
Well, I'm trying to remember the timeline. I finished Allegiant, and it was going to print, and that's when I wrote most of the short stories. So I wrote them before Allegiant came out.
Okay. So
for me, it was a way of kind of letting go of the series slowly, and also a way of kind of giving back to readers who have given me so much. I know that Tobias is one of their favorite characters, and that they would be interested in hearing his story and seeing, you know, some of his interactions with Triss from the other perspective. And so it was really a joy to write it. Joy to write something that, you know, people will want to read, I think.
One of the commentators on our website and the winner of your book, Four, Barb from Columbus, asks, the third book of the Divergent series took on a different style in terms of a split narrative and had an overall different feel from the other two novels. In your latest collections of stories, what can readers expect in the terms of style? And I think we can take that off from not just a different viewpoint, but have you maybe changed as a writer?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so, because I think if you're not changing and developing and growing stronger with each book, then you're not really putting in the hard work of writing. So my hope is that my writing continues to improve as I keep going. And I certainly, you know, I was very young when I wrote the first one and might approach it differently now if I were to write it again in some ways. I still love it, but that's just what happens when you keep going. So I think his voice is a little bit different from Triss's, maybe not as different as I wish it was, but he doesn't withhold from the reader, so he's always sharing everything that's on his mind, which is interesting for a character who keeps so many secrets. So he's a complicated person, and it was a challenge to write from his perspective, but hopefully these stories will give a little bit more insight into who he is as a person, and not just as, you know, a love interest, I guess.
You wrote a lot of this, or you started out writing when you were really young, and I think you had, or it was part of what you went through with the Northwest University's creative writing program, was part of writing this. Of the four factions, one of them is called Erudite.
Right.
Was Erudite something that you saw as a more evil faction after you had gone through a creative writing program? Is that where this comes from?
No, I mean, the creative writing program that I was in at Northwestern was kind of like a safe haven. And I really love the people who are in it, and I learned so much from them. So it's not about them at all.
Okay.
I think I was a little, I thought about, like, logically speaking, like, who would have the most capacity to cause problems in this world? And a woman from Erudite turned out to be the one. But it wasn't so much a comment on the faction as on the power that a charismatic and driven and intelligent person can have, you know, for good and for evil. So it was a little more about that and a little less about some kind of commentary about intellectualism.
Okay.
Because obviously, like, I went to Northwestern and I loved it there, and I think learning is extremely important. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it also seems like in the stories you destroy Chicago in some respects. So was that something that grew out of having lived there? You thought, you walk down the streets and think, this is all very nice, but what would it look like if it were destroyed?
Yeah, I mean, one thing about Chicago is that it's extremely clean for a city, you know, compared to a lot of places. So it's a little bit fun to imagine it destroyed and wrecked. And also, more than that, to imagine it as kind of like a crazy person's playground, like a Hellraiser's playground. Like, all the things you can climb on, all the buildings you can run through and zip line off of, and all the trains you can jump on. Like, it just... it was kind of like extreme parkour or something.
Right, I thought of that as I was reading it, because I thought, I hope she hasn't tried all these jumping onto trains.
No, never.
Although
I'm such a wuss.
That means that they would have to take the doors off the trains, right? Because you couldn't get onto it as it's moving. That's because that's one of the tropes, is the moving trains within Divergent.
Right. Yeah, in my mind, they're a little more like boxcar trains, you know, when the doors are sort of open.
Okay. Tell me about the ways that you juggled going to the university and getting this degree and writing at the same time. What was your process for that? And my follow-up is going to be, how has that changed for you now that you're not doing that?
Well, I basically just crammed my writing time into all the empty spaces in my schedule. So, you know, between classes, like, instead of homework sometimes, or instead of reading, instead of going out on the weekends occasionally. Like, I did have a social life, but maybe not as rich a social life as a lot of my friends. And I think I found it in that the high pressure, like, okay, you have an hour, go, 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 actually made me really productive. Because you can't worry about, you know, whether the words are perfect. You just have to worry about getting them down. So that was a really great environment for this kind of work to happen. But now I have all the time in the world because I'm writing full time.
Right. Has that changed you as an author? Are you different now that you have more time?
I think I am. Yeah, I will write things, delete them, rewrite them, just make sure that the scene works. And I'll think, I take a lot of time to mull things over that I didn't really have before. And so I think what comes out is a little bit more thoughtful and a little more carefully rendered. And I think that's been a really good thing for me. But it's a little hard to stay motivated when you don't have that, you know, the pressure of having no time, because I have lots of time. So I'm not always sure how to work without that pressure.
Okay. Well, hopefully you're, you know, putting that on yourself now, the pressure to keep publishing,
yeah,
because you've got all these fans who are, you know, involved in it, what you're doing. And speaking
right
of that, you've got some really active fans in terms of websites.
Yeah.
Like Divergent websites. Tell me about, you know, connecting with your authors through that, because I imagine that's a different experience from being an author who has yet to meet such a huge audience of his or her work.
Well, it's really amazing to see that they're so enthusiastic and that they're so dedicated to capturing, you know, every little detail of the series. Like, there's a website that kind of chronicles, like, every character, every physical descriptor that they have, like, every time they appear, and occasionally, like, I will be in a time crunch and I'll need to look something up, and I'll look something up there because I know that they have it and it's easy to find. And I know that sounds crazy, but sometimes I think readers have a greater memory for things than writers, because we go through so many drafts and I'm just never sure, like, wait, did that end up in the final version or not?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just incredible to see their enthusiasm and to see how real all the characters feel to them. It's really inspiring, you know, on days when you're like, why am I doing this? And then they're always there to remind you, you know, because people are connecting to it, because it's important to, you know, to some people and to a lot of people and to me, but, you know.
When you were writing this, after you had published it and everything, what was the beginnings for you? Like, the superhero always gets a great origin story. I'm curious about your origin story as a very successful writer, right? So you've sent this off, and when did that happen for you? When your Peter Parker moment?
Well, I don't know, because I'm certainly not a superhero, so I don't have a very interesting origin story as a consequence. But I don't know. I grew up in a home where creativity was encouraged, and where my mother never said, like, that's a stupid thing to do. You should be doing something more useful with your time. And so at the age of 11, I started writing every day, and I just kept doing it and trying to get better at it. And then, you know, I kept trying to finish stuff. And when Divergent came around, I just had a feeling about it. I had a feeling it could become something that people might want to read, and that I should try to find people who would facilitate it becoming that. And it worked, which is crazy, and I'm very, mm-hmm. very lucky that it did.
Well, and just to follow up on that a little bit, I think the series, in theory, originated from a psychology class you were taking and a billboard you saw. is this an
no.
accurate?
The billboard is, I don't know where that came from. That was kind of a misinterpretation of an interview a long time ago.
Okay.
But the psychology class is true. I was enrolled in Psychology 101, and I was learning about exposure therapy, which is a method of treating phobia and anxiety in which a person is repeatedly exposed to the stimulus that provokes their fear until they become habituated to it. So in a sense, by repeatedly encountering the fear, they overcome it. And I found that to be very interesting, and also its efficacy is proven, so it actually works. And I wanted to see what would that be like in a futuristic context with these kind of like creepy simulated realities. Like, would you be able to overcome even your deepest, darkest fears if you could encounter them in a situation that felt real? So that's where one of the factions, Dauntless, comes from, is just that idea.
If you were to join a faction, which one is the faction that you think you would have chosen?
Oh, man. You think that I think I would have chosen, like, at 16?
Right, yeah. Which is your faction? Which do you think, boy, that's where I really want to be? Jumping on trains, a life of the mind, always giving of yourself. What's your faction?
Well, the one I would choose now is probably Abnegation, which is the selfless faction.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I think I am naturally selfless, but because I think it's important to become a selfless person if you can. But at the age of 16, I probably would have chosen Dauntless and then promptly died because I wouldn't have been able to handle it. So good thing this world doesn't exist.
Right, yeah. And the final thing is, what's the next book that you're working on now that you've got for this collection coming out? Is there more in the Divergent series, or is there more a new series?
No, I think 4 kind of closes out the series in a way that I feel really good about. Feels like it comes full circle, and it feels very complete to me. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. I want to continue to write for teens because I really love them, and I love the way they read books and the way things feel so real to them, and the wisdom that they surprise me with at every turn. So I would miss them if they weren't my readers anymore. So I'll write for them, but I'm not sure exactly what. It's going to be a fun time to explore and dig into something new.
Okay, and it's the now that you have more time, you don't have to worry about Psych 101 papers, things like that.
Exactly.
You can indulge. Well, Veronica Roth, thank you very much for talking to me today on Craft. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll look forward to your new collection, For a Divergent Collection.
Thank you.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.